book. I bill a full end, think I'd read them in the summertime. Today I think I'll make a cook after. She'll wear a finger with electric fire. She'll have the power, she'll make you know when I'm all alive. Don't seem like a long ago I hung out with G.I. Joe and with my little one. If I got God. Now all that made me do is a sober cup of reality that wakes me up and drags me through another day.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop on the Road. We're visiting today with Kevin Stark, the executive director and curator of the Toy and Action Figure Museum of Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. So, Kevin, we appreciate you joining us today.
Hey, great to be here.
And with us today, we have Michelle, Logan, Luis, and April here. We're on our way back from Akon. We're making a stop here in Paul's Valley to enjoy the museum. And we, Michelle and I and the kids, have been here 10 years ago. The museum is at its 10th year anniversary. So, Kevin, let's start out with that. Maybe some of the activities that are going to be occurring for that.
Well, we're going to have a big party, kind of a festival atmosphere. So we've got some pretty wild things planned. I think we're going to have some kind of superhero reenactment and things like that. And maybe some outdoor fighting going on, you know. Maybe a supervillain or two might, you know, try to crash the party. So
is it going to be more of a block street festival, or is it going to try to stay contained to the one lot?
Well, usually every year in October we have the International Superhero Festival, and this October we're going to be doing our birthday party instead, our anniversary. So we're going to keep it pretty much more contained in the museum, but there will be some things going on outdoors. So,
April, have you ever tried to contain a superhero? Or a villain?
So the 10th anniversary is coming up. You said that was going to be October?
Yes, October 17th.
So keep track of their webpage and Facebook, and at the end of the show, we'll have you give that, and we'll also have show notes for that to have links so you can go to that. But the history of everything, of you yourself, how did you become involved with the toy industry, collecting, and then rolling into the museum here in Paul's Valley?
Well, in about 1986, I became a collector. I sort of always collected things, but that's when I became an action figure collector. This girlfriend I had at the time drug me to an antique flea market, and I didn't want to go, but I went and found all these action figures for like 50 cents and a dollar, and I started picking them up. I was like, wow, I didn't have these as a kid. This is pretty cool. So they sat around on my desk and stuff, and I came out that first trip with an armload of stuff, and I said, when are we going back? You know. So that kind of started the whole collecting bug. So I was collecting for 4 years before I was asked to start designing toys for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So I started doing that in 1990, and when they called to see if I wanted to do it, they had no idea I was a collector. And I said, you have no idea what I'm sitting around right now. So it was pretty cool. So I flew out to L.A. and commuted back and forth designing toys for a long time.
Did you get a copy of each of your designs for free?
Well, I was supposed to, but, you know, toy companies are kind of, they've already moved on to the next thing, and, you know, it's like they figure, well, they're paying you enough, you can go out and buy them.
Going back and forth to LA, like you said, what percentage of your time was split to that?
Well, I'd go out for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and I only did that 3 or 4 times a year. And and then when the internet got to where I could send things over directly to a website or whatever, it got easier and I didn't have to be there. See, because you couldn't fax color drawings back and forth. So I had to FedEx a lot of stuff if I was going to stay here and work. So it just got to where now we can do things on the computer and I can upload them to their website.
And just one more question on the toy design portion for anybody that's out there. How much did you and the sculptor kind of go back and forth, or was it pretty much you released the design and had to say, take care of my baby, or how did that happen?
Well, the way it works is that the toy companies call and tell us what to design. They need 3 bad guys and, you know, 6 different versions of the good guy, for instance. Let's say Zorro, for instance. And so we do all that and we go back and forth with the company. So the company's saying, well, we like this, but can you change that? And we like that, but can you change this? And so once we get it nailed down as to how they like it, then it goes on to the sculptor. Now, sometimes the sculptor would send us the sculpts and we would approve them. But generally speaking, they would go back directly to the company. So
on the more, you know, collecting side and starting the museum, how did you get the idea in the first place to say, hey, maybe I should make this a thing where people can come in and look at it and everything?
He ran out of room.
Well, I say anytime I run out of room, I just buy another building. But actually what happened was all this was in my studio where I worked. And so I had thousands of toys set up. Yeah, it was a big studio. But I had it set up just for me, so I didn't have to have display cases or guardrails, or, you know, I didn't have to charge an admission or anything like that, because it was just my hobby. It was just my fun thing. Well, a lot of news stations would come and do a story on me because I was a toy designer living in a small town in Oklahoma, and I had thousands of toys. So it was a very visual kind of human interest story. Well, every time that would run, then people would come and knock on my door. They'd track me down wanting to come see the toys. And I was like, well, I'm in here working, but yeah, come on in. Well, in the year 2000, a group of citizens got together and said, we want to plan the growth of the community for the next 10 years. So one of the things they were saying they wanted was unique tourist attractions in the downtown area. And I joked with one of the committee members that I was the unofficial tourist attraction and that we ought to make it official. Well, he goes back to the committee and says, Kevin Stark's going to donate all of his toys to a toy museum. And I said, no, Kevin did not say that. I said, but I will loan them to you. So we put together a group of people, a committee, to kind of start envisioning the idea of what the action figure museum would look like and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, it took a little while for this building to come open. We wanted it in the downtown area, but there wasn't anything big enough. And so this 7,000 square foot building, which used to be a department store, came open. It had been in business for 75 years and went out of business. And so we rented the building initially, and we gutted it and put all of the displays and areas and stuff in it. And then eventually we bought the building. And so now we filled it with toys, and I'm still filling it with toys. And I could fill a facility 3 times, 4 times as big as this.
And just by from being here 10 years ago to today, I think Michelle and I can pretty much say, you know, the amount of figures are probably doubled, probably, just by looking at the display count space, because a lot of the display cases when we were here 10 years ago weren't here, so you've added quite a bit over the years.
Yeah, we have over 13,000 action figures in the collection. So
just here in the building?
No, in the whole collection, yeah.
So are you continuously keeping up with the figures and buying as they come out?
Yeah, he is. You didn't see the Lego Batman? That's pretty recent.
Yeah, I still pick up stuff all the time. It goes in phases, you know. I'll go pick up a whole lot of stuff, and then I won't buy anything for a day or two.
What a break.
I need a break, you know. My wallet needs a break. So.
You were talking about picking up new stuff. What about the older stuff? Do you pretty much do the old-fashioned toy runs again, where you go to garage sales or flea markets, or
yeah.
do you do the digital searching as well?
Well, I do some of the digital searching, but I really don't buy things on eBay very often. I like to go out and find it. And when you get known for having a museum, a lot of the people come to you. You know, you don't have to go to them. So I think I was telling you earlier, I had a guy come with a truckload of Hot Wheels wanting to sell them to me. And, you know, I've had other people want to sell whole collections or whatever. So.
Right, so whenever you're searching, how do you keep track of, like, what do you have and what you don't have? I know memory, but, like, you said you have so many already. How do you know, okay, I already got this one. But then what if they're so different? Like, let's just say one has, like...
green socks.
Exactly, and then one has purple socks. How do you know which one you have out of both?
I'm a collector. I know everything. I can tell you when somebody has picked something up and set it back down, okay? I have personally set everything up in this museum, and I know everything I have. So I can even tell you on most things where I bought it and what I paid for it. So, you know.
That's good.
That's good memory.
You know the bounty ad on finding the Ultrons? Have you ever thought of putting an actual bounty on toys you didn't have? Because apparently they come to you anyway, so.
Well, I've never done that. I mean, really, I have so many people come to me wanting to sell me things. I just wait until it comes along. In fact, we get a lot of things donated also. It's funny because there's these football action figures that Todd McFarlane put out. And I have two or three because I'm a big NFL fan. But I never bought a lot of them. And I wanted them, but not, I didn't want them bad enough to pay for them. Well, I just walked back into the office, and I see that someone has donated two or three boxes of them. So they're all back there still in the package. And I'm like, cool, I wanted all these. So it's kind of cool. So.
With the donations, do they just bring them, or if occasionally if they leave their name, do you have like a donors board that's kind of helped the museum?
Yeah, we do both. We'll give people credit for donating things, particularly, you know, if it's a major thing. You know, someone donated a Simpson collection that was their brother's collection. He had passed away, and he was a big fan of the museum. And a big Simpson fan. And so she donated a lot of his stuff. And we set up a special display just for that. And then we paid tribute to him.
As you know, you mentioned the Simpsons, and then you have Batman, DC, Marvel, and everything. So World War II, you know, model and everything. So is there anything that is really off limits when it comes to collecting?
Well, what we try to do with the museum is show a variety of things, you know, kind of give you an overall view of the action figure world. Now, there may be things I'm not personally interested in, but I will get them for the museum. I'm not a huge Transformer fan, for instance, because they just frustrate the heck out of me.
Or they break.
Yeah, or they break. I mean, I like them, I appreciate them, but I don't go collect them. But I have picked them up. I have collected them so that other people can see them. So to me, it's more important to give the general public an overview of the action figure world than just to say, this is what I like, you see. So I think it's important to do that.
I'm guessing when you get two or three donations of the same thing is what the gift shop thing is for?
Yeah, sometimes. There's that. I mean, the really rare toys we don't sell, but... But we will actually purchase things. We bought out a storage unit that was full of action figures. And, you know, we sold a bunch of them because they weren't really valuable action figures. And then a few things we kept and put into the collection. But, yeah, we'll do that a lot. People will say, you know, they've got a ton of this stuff that was left over, particularly like a lot of the Power of the Force Star Wars. You know, back in the 90s when they started putting that out again, everyone thought, oh, these are going to be worth something. So all these people collected them and kept them in the package, boxed them up, put them somewhere. And of course, there's millions of them. I mean, Kenner made millions of them. So, they're not really worth anything. And
the 90s kind of killed the comic and toy market for a while.
Yeah, it did.
Saturated it was, with product.
Yeah, it was oversaturated. I mean, I loved it because things were inexpensive. Now, you know, you go buy a Marvel action figure, you can't get one for less than $21. And I'm sorry, but they're not made as well as what Toy Biz was doing. So,
true.
You know, I'm a little upset about that because I remember KB Toys. 3 for $10.
True.
Two for $5.
Not too many outlets anymore.
No.
It's effectively pushed that out of the action figures, so.
True, that business has been gone. They pushed out, like you said.
Yeah.
Hot Wheels. Yeah, Hot Wheels is a cheap collectible, seems like now.
Yeah.
With the displays that you have here, we may mention about cleaning, but kind of describe how you have to clean and how often do you rotate your scenes. Okay, excuse me, Michelle.
What he's really talking about is this big scene that he has on the south wall with all these action figures covering the entire floor.
Well, we close for a week, generally in January, and we will take everything out of the display and clean the floor and the furniture, everything. And then we clean all of the figures separately, and we put them back in a different configuration. I actually enjoy doing that because it gives me time to play with the toys. So, you know, it's fun to set them up, you know.
That only takes a week?
Yeah, and that's just two people doing it.
Okay, you have beautiful art on your walls, the cartoons and such. Who does that for you?
I did all that.
You did all that?
Yeah. Well, I'm an artist by trade.
Yeah.
And
free labor.
Yeah, it's free labor. Yeah, the museum actually, I don't get paid to be here. This is my community project. Uh-huh. So I don't take a salary. I do all of their logo work and ad design, billboard design. I design all of the displays and research them and go out and buy the stuff to put in them. So. Mm-hmm. I'm retiring in October, so they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do. They've been getting this free labor. There's about 4 jobs that I do around here, and so they're looking for a new curator. So anybody interested, give us a call.
We'd be closer to home.
And one thing they do for you, give you a place to store all this stuff.
Yeah. I actually have 4 other buildings that I can store stuff in.
You talk about, you know, retiring and being here so often. So, you know, for the average person that comes in, you know, just to see the museum, what is the chance of you actually being here and then getting a chance to talk to you?
Well, I tend to pop in about every day. So I come by. It's my gallery and studio is only a block away. So I'll come in and see what's going on and visit with people and things like that. But, you know, sometimes if people want to meet me, they just tell the help here and they'll call me and I'll walk down. Or they'll send them down to my studios.
I'm working, but okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to the beginning.
Yeah.
And I get to see whatever toys you have there as well.
Right, yes. Well, the thing is, I generally work late afternoon into the evening and into the night. So I usually work till about 2 or 3 in the morning. And I get up about 7:30, and then the museum opens at 10, and so, you know, I kind of hang out here for a while.
With the figures, and you have some statuary and some banks as well, but what percentage is yours, and what percentage, like I said, has been donated straight to the museum, or is it donated to you, and then it's on loan until you ask for it back to the museum?
Yeah, well, 85% to 90% of what you see in here is from my private collection. So there are things that are donated to me directly. I mean, people that are friends of mine or whatever will come to my studio and say, this is for you, you know. And then we get stuff that's donated to the museum, and so the museum owns those pieces. But generally speaking, about 85% to 90% of what you see in here is from my private collection.
And you still have several.
And I still have lots more. Yes.
You had a question, Logan?
I was going to mention there's also the Western area where someone loaned it to the museum as well.
Yeah, the Western toys, that area, that's the toys of the 50s and 60s. Those were loaned to us by a local woman who collected that stuff. Now, I have enhanced that collection with some of my action figures and toys and things like that that are Western themed.
So with, you know, people loaning and, you know, at different times they'll want to take their collection back, is the museum continuously changing almost with what can be seen, or is it pretty regular?
Yeah, we've got a few display cases that we change out fairly often. And then, like the bedroom diorama, we don't take it out, but we add to it. So we change it up and move it around. There are some things that are just perennial. I mean, you just have to have them in here all the time. The Bat Cave we're going to always have because I've got such a huge Batman collection, and he's pretty much a character that a lot of people like. So, you know, if Spider-Man had a cave, we'd probably, you know, do that too.
With the G.I. Joe's military display, I see it's primarily with the 12 inches. Do you also do the 3 3/4, or those are just packed away?
Well, they're packed away right now. We had a display of those that was out for at least a year and a half. We had everything. We had the USS flag, and actually we've got two of those. And then we had all of the vehicles.
For those who don't know, that's kind of one of the holy grails for G.I. Joe collectors.
Yeah, it's the big aircraft carrier. So we've got two of those. We set one of those up. And we had one area that was all the sea vehicles, so the boats and all that. And then we had the other side was all the land vehicles and the Cobra headquarters and all that kind of stuff. So we have a lot of that. It's just stored away. So.
Do you have special events that occur throughout the year? Like, you know, if it's closer to Star Wars Day on May the 4th, do you do something for that or no?
Yeah. We do a lot of events during the year. We have the Hot Wheels Double Dog Dare Derby, which we do every Memorial Day weekend. So it's a drag racing event, and we always do that. We have the International Superhero Festival that just, you know, celebrates everything about superheroes. And then we also, when some of the superhero movies are coming out, we will take that opportunity to showcase a particular character. Or, like in the case of the Avengers, several characters. We try to educate the public about, look, these were not characters that were just invented for the movie. They have a history in comics. And so we try to show, you know, what it is about those characters, who designed them maybe, who created them, things like that. The Marvel and DC stuff, we're always doing events centered around, you know, Batman, Superman, if there are major events happening, you know.
And I noticed on the website people can also commission to do parties here as well.
Yeah, we've had we've actually had a wedding here one time, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that'd be different.
Everyone was dressed up, you know, so.
Who is the bride and groom? Who were they
characters
dressed up as? Not who?
Oh, man.
Do you remember?
I think she was Wilma from Flintstones. And I can't remember what he was, but the groom's brother was Gene Simmons, and the groom and the bride's mom was She-Ra. And yeah, she had a great costume. Oh yeah, they did. It was really cool. So yeah, we had a great time.
I've noticed this is what, Monday? It is Monday. Okay. So you've got people coming in on Monday mornings. How has your attendance been over the last 10 years?
We average 15,000 to 20,000 people a year. And we're in a town of 6,300, so that's not bad. And we stay pretty busy in the summertime. That's our, well, if you'll ask most museums, that's their big time. Mm-hmm. In the spring and the fall, we'll get group tours of kids, you know, school bus loads of kids, but sometimes we get those in the summer too, with daycare centers and things like that, summer camps, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, we get lots of folks in.
That's good.
And multinational as well. Can you say some of the other places people have traveled from?
Yeah, well, we've had people
Kansas.
Here
Kansas.
Yeah,
probably further than that.
Yeah, people from Kansas, can you believe that? People from Kansas. We've had actually people from every state in the union in over 40 foreign countries. So we've had people from Australia and Japan and China and South Korea, North Korea, all over. I mean, just tons of people. And I've done magazine interviews in Australia, France, Japan, New Zealand, just all over. So
you got toys from all over too, because there was the Japanese Batman thing over there too.
We got toys from all over. So now my goal, my dream trip, is to go to Japan and buy toys. So and so that I don't have to pay the tax on them.
Yes. We just felt that this past weekend at Akon. So yeah. I paid for a little bitty Hot Wheel car, $15.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's import tax is a little expensive. Yeah, I did get a $5 discount, last day discount.
Yeah, I don't like that import tax. So I think I can go there and just ship them back to me as gifts, you know.
With the collection, when we first came here again 10 years ago, it was primarily based around American toys per se. You might have some foreign stuff, but they're kind of American characters. But I've noticed there's been a little bit of, you know, the Japanese toys like we just been talking about coming into the museum as well. Is that going to be an active phase for the next couple of years to maybe incorporate more of that, or is that natural progression?
Yeah, that's probably a natural progression. I'm a huge fan of Japanese stuff in general and the toys. So I've actually had a couple of displays that we built just for Japanese toys. To me, their imagination and stuff that they come up with is just great. Their movies and all, I mean, you know, it doesn't have to really make sense. You know, it's like a creature will, you know, be battling this other one for the whole movie and then suddenly manifest some power in the end that he wins with. And I'm like, why didn't he use that, you know, an hour ago?
And you wouldn't have a story.
Well, I guess. True. But, you know, it's just fun stuff like that, you know. And I think their design is just really, really good. So, and we've actually had, I have a friend that lives in Rio de Janeiro. And he sent me some stuff that's popular there in Brazil. So we had a display of that stuff. And, in fact, that Hulk standing over there, that big Hulk, is actually from Brazil. And so I still have the package for it and everything, and it's all in, you know, Spanish or whatever. So in Brazilian, you know. It's pretty cool. So
with the all the figures that are out there, do you ever do displays periodically, and do you collect these as well, the bootlegs that come through?
Yeah, we have a display back there of the knockoff toys. Okay. And so, and I want to get more. See, I think they're great. I think they're hilarious. I think they're so funny. I love to see, you know, here's a spider guy, you know, with guns and swords, and you're just like, yeah, right, okay, and you know, just pretty funny stuff. So I would collect a lot more of that if I could just get out there and find it.
And a couple of years ago, you kind of, I guess, inspired me to a little bit for doing this. Michelle probably hates you for it, though.
What have I done now?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. With the collecting, I've pieced together a few vehicles by going to different places and just being patient to piece them together, and that came from you saying that with the donations, you almost keep everything that comes in, even if it's in parts, because eventually you might piece stuff together. Is that still kind of continuing on 10 years later?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got bags and boxes full of just miscellaneous things. And I tell
it's
people...
His fault, see?
Yeah, I say, you know, first off, you can't say no to donations, because if you start saying no, then people will... they'll automatically say, oh, well, he won't want this. It may be something I really want. And they just pitch it, you know. So I'm like, no, I'll take everything you got, and I'll go through it. I have one building where I just set up tables, and we just open all these boxes and bags, and we just go through them. And, you know. And the sad part is I can sit there and tell you what these little pieces go to, you know.
I have to do a little bit of research sometimes.
Yeah.
I think the one piece that took the longest for me was probably 2 years, and I was able to piece something together. I still have some pieces that are still there, but so far the longest, well, those aren't complete, but so far it's been 2 years. How long has it taken you to complete a piece?
I don't know. I don't really keep track of it. You know,
you just have fun.
That just sets back in, you know, the back of my mind or whatever that, well, don't throw that Batmobile away, even though it doesn't have its fins, because
right. The
fins are going to show up sometime.
That's what I pieced together was a Batmobile.
All right.
I got my last fin about
which Batmobile?
From the very last one with Clooney.
Batman and Robin. Yeah. Yeah.
What's really funny is they know exactly what they're talking about.
I think right now I'm waiting for a canopy for the silver Batmobile on the ice rink.
Still
waiting to piece that together. I haven't quite yet.
Okay, but I'll keep an eye out.
Okay.
Yeah. So you did mention you are, you know, coming into retirement here at the end of the year, roughly?
October.
So is that going to be more time to just go and collect, or are you actually going to take a break from it?
Well, actually, I have a band also, and we're going to be doing some touring, so I have to be able to be gone for quite a while. Also, I'm starting a new tourist attraction in Oklahoma City, and so I need time to work on that also. So,
do you want to give any details about?
Well, it's
your band or the museum?
It incorporates my art and my band and theater. And so it's like a installation piece that people can actually walk into and be a part of. And so it actually has the same feel as the museum, but it incorporates my art instead.
Right,
because I haven't seen anywhere that says designed by you. So.
Well, I try not to make the museum about me.
Uh-huh.
It's about the action figures. You know, it's about the toys and the industry. It's not about one person. So every project, no matter what it is, has to have one or two people that are the driving force. Mm-hmm. I just happen to be the driving force. So I don't want it to be the shrine to Kevin Stark, you know. I want it to be the shrine to action figures.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's the focus. Now, up there, it'll be, you know, kind of the shrine to my art. But it'll be all about an experience. So,
and that reminded me, earlier we mentioned, it was mentioned that you were one that worked on some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles figures. Any other lines that you did work on?
Well, yeah, I worked on The Simpsons. And a lot of different stuff. Pink Panther, Toonsylvania, The Mummy, The Mask, The Coneheads, Zorro. Some properties in France, like The Magician, which nobody around here has ever even heard of. And, you know, all kinds of stuff. So,
did you grow up here in Paul's Valley?
Yeah, I was born and raised here.
Uh-huh.
But I moved away for about 10 years. Then I moved back here because I was able to rent a building for $150 a month, which meant I could have my studio and it had an apartment in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from having, you know, a house rent of $400 or $500 a month and a studio rent of $300 a month down to $150 a month. So I was like, well, yeah, okay, I'll move back to Paul's Valley for that, you know. Well, then I ended up meeting this woman who became my girlfriend, who became my wife. And so, you know, that meant I was hanging around here for a while.
Gotta stay close to home now.
Yeah. I really started putting down roots then, which was dangerous because that's when the collection really got started. But I've always collected. So I collected guitars. At one time I had like 35 electric guitars. I started collecting automobiles, you know, so I had 5 or 6 automobiles, and I thought, no, I got to quit doing that.
That's what we do when we keep our old ones in the backyard.
Yeah. No, mine were all drivable.
That old one is immortal. The immortal green pickup.
The immortal green pickup, yes.
It might hibernate during the winter, but it is immortal.
I think we're going to be pretty much wrapping it up because I know you said you had some other business today. One of the things, if you mentioned, because I don't have it off the top of my head, but if you could, the website and Facebook page where people can find you.
Yeah, it's actionfiguremuseum.com is the website. And then on Facebook, it's Toy and Action Figure Museum. And we're pretty easy to find. So. Okay.
So anybody that's into, even if it's not even toys, I think if you're into the comic books, into movies, cartoons, anything, coming to see represented in 3D, that, you know, that's kind of unique in of itself. So I think everybody would enjoy coming here. They've had well over thousands, probably, are you? Where are you to a million mark or half a million?
I don't know. See, I don't think about
that. Okay. I didn't know if they kept the tally or not.
No, but somebody does. I don't. But I will mention that we have a lot of, like, young families will come in here, and they think this is just for their kids. And I tell you, 5-10 minutes in, they're like, oh, my gosh, this is my childhood, and male and female. So we have a lot of people that are very surprised by the things we have. We're really, I think, more about nostalgia and memories, and right. And we're about pop culture in general, because the toys reflect, you know, what's been happening the last 50 years. So,
and one of the other things that we haven't mentioned is they do have a play area and dress-up area for kids pretty much of all ages. If they want to have fun, they can go in and play and dress up and take pictures. So you can come in and have fun with that. You can spend probably a couple of hours if you really want it.
And cameras are welcome.
Oh, okay. Because sometimes they're not.
Yeah, so sometimes they're not.
Find out at the end of this. While we've been taking pictures the whole time.
Well, it says on the door, but people always miss it, you know. But when we were researching putting this together, my wife and I went to a lot of different museums and children's museums and stuff, and it was like we were a criminal because we had a camera, you know. I was like, my gosh, you know, what do you think I'm going to do? Take pictures and go start my own museum? Oh, wait, I did.
But we appreciate your time, Kevin. I think we're going to leave out, and thank you very much.
Well, it's been fun. Glad you guys came by. I always love to talk toys.
Oh, definitely.
So, you know, if people come by and want to visit, I'm all there.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today. We hope everybody enjoyed listening to this. We've had fun here at the Toy and Action Figure Museum in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. Ever get a chance, swing by. It's only not even 5 minutes off the highway of I-35. So come by and visit them. They'll definitely enjoy having you here. So for Comic Pop Library, we'll see y'all later. Bye.
Bye.
My action figures and my comic books. I can't afford it. You can't read them in the